Today on the Girl Defined Show, we are having one of those conversations that just kind of blows your mind. You're like, why couldn't God spread out the suffering a little bit? Like, why did he have to pick one person to go through so much hardship, like one unimaginable thing after another? But the shocking thing is that our guest, even though she, at a young age, has been through so much, I mean, we only scratched the surface. She is coming out with a book on how to take back your joy and how to truly have joy in Christ. Like, are you kidding me? Most of us experience a hiccup in the road, and it's so hard to trust God. It's so hard not to grow bitter. But she has been through, wow, a lot. And so I just want to encourage you, if you are wanting a boost in your faith, like, wow, if she could choose joy in Christ and have a genuine relationship with him, I can too. Or if you are one of those where you're like, I have gone through all the things as well, and I just wonder, when am I going to come up for air? When am I going to find hope? When is God going to give me a break? You know, if that's how you're feeling, this episode is going to encourage you like none other. What's up, sisterhood? I am so pumped for this conversation with Nicole Jacobs-Meyer. She is coming out with an incredible book, Take Back Your Joy, which she'll talk a lot more about. We'll link it below so that you can pre-order it and get all of the incredible goodies and just be so encouraged. I mean, the testimonies of others, the faith of others is what the body of Christ is all about. Coming together, loving one another, sharing our testimonies of God's goodness, even through unimaginable hardship, which is her story. It was so crazy talking to her because, you know, Kristen and I, we just released a book, Not Part of the Plan, Trusting God with the Twists and Turns of Your Story. And if you haven't read that, I strongly encourage you to grab a copy. It is a super easy read. It has a built-in free devotional to go with it. At the end of each chapter, you're going to be challenged to dig into the Word, to grow in your relationship with Christ, to question your view of God in the sense that, like, are you viewing God in the way that he says he is? Or are you just imagining him and putting, you know, qualities around him that aren't true to him? And so I really encourage you to dig into that. You can find that at girldefined.com/trust, girldefined.com/trust, or wherever books are sold. I strongly encourage you to grab a copy because that will just encourage you in your faith journey. And as you learn what it means to truly be a Christ follower, not what a lot of celebrity pastors and kind of like, you know, Christian influencers share with us, because oftentimes, unfortunately, it's this, you know, gumball machine view of God. Like, you start following God, you put your quarter in and you get blessings out, and you know, give to God and he gives back to you. And that's just not how scripture works. I mean, Jesus, he lived perfectly and he gave up his life. He was ultimately completely unjustly crucified, literally died at the hands of wicked men. We know the end of the story, though, that he conquered sin and death, rose from the dead, and is seated at the right hand of God. And one day we will be with him forever, those of us who have trusted in him as our Savior. But we just need to get a scriptural view of God. And I'm excited to jump into this conversation with Nicole and just be encouraged through her story of God's goodness in her own life and how we can be encouraged to view God in the same way. All right, Nicole, I am so glad you are here. Now, I want you to give a quick introduction for those that may not know you. Can you just tell us a little bit more about yourself and your family and your kids and this exciting book you have coming out? Tell us all the things.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much for having me. Seriously, it means the absolute world when I'm invited on these because I feel like as a first-time author, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know how it is. So thank you so much. My name's Nicole. I have four kids. They are 8, 6, 4, and almost 2.
My goodness.
And I know. And I'm married to a pediatrician. He just finished residency.
Wow.
And so it has been a decade process, and it's absolutely bonkers. But here we are, so very grateful. And then I guess I was just kind of a mommy blogger back in the day. Gosh, I don't even know how many years ago that was. I just started mommy blogging and doing some like side stuff so that I could help pay for medical school.
And as you're having all these children, you know, no big deal.
Yeah. And then now my first book, Take Back Your Joy, comes out October 4th into the world. And I'm so excited.
Okay. I just want to know, first of all, how in the world you made time to write with your kids. So I'm 33 and I have one 2-year-old, and he is amazing. And, you know, I would love to have more. That's not God's plan for us yet. That's a whole nother story we've talked about on here, and our book, Not Part of the Plan, share a lot about that. But I have found my life has been turned upside down as far as like trying to, okay, how do I run Girl Defined? How do I write? When do I do this? Yeah. I mean, I work like a crazy person during nap time, but how have you done that? I mean, you've had like newborns pretty much for like the last decade. So how has that gone?
Yeah. So I'm a very scheduled person. I think I've had to be because my husband, with this whole medical journey, his schedule is awful. I mean, not going to sugarcoat that one at all. It has been rough. Mm. I don't know what I expected, but it was probably worse than I thought. I mean, I can laugh about it now because it's over, but in it, I mean, I was miserable a lot of the time. And so I had to just almost take the wheel and be like, okay, I am going to do this solo parenting thing and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And yes, Jesus, take the wheel. Okay. Yes, that too. But I mean, I had to take responsibility in this, in the motherhood department. And I just kind of had to set them with naps and quiet times and early bedtimes. And mommy has to like be with Jesus. And so I guess when I got the book contract, it was during COVID. So it was 2020. Wow. And I was pregnant, and then I had my baby girl in November, and then all the editing was kind of like after she was born. Wow. So I just baby wore her like all the time. I let her sleep on me, and I would just go to town and write and edit and do all the things. So it was wild.
That's so inspiring. I'm like, oh, you know, I look back at, you know, because Girl Defined, we've been here for what, 8 years or whatever. And so for the first 6, I was single for most of them, then eventually got married and then had Davey. And I'm like, what was I doing during all that time when I didn't have Davey? Like all the hours of the day I could just work and do whatever. I'm like, oh my goodness. So you have like an amazing story, but a really difficult story. And that's what your book, Take Back Your Joy, is all about. And I know for so many of, you know, the women in the Girl Defined community, the sisterhood, as we like to call them, there have been a lot of hardships as well that they have walked through physically, emotionally, mentally, not only because of COVID, but just life. Like we all know things do not go according to our plan. And I know a lot of women in our community, they just, you know, they just feel like, okay, God has kind of like betrayed them or God is not good. And they're in a place of just real struggle, like wondering, can they trust God? Can they continue following him? Should they just, you know, take control and move forward? So I would love to hear from you. When was the first time that you walked through something or had a trial enter your life that kind of turned things upside down or hit you in a way that was like, wow, this was not a part of my plan. Like, this is very difficult and I am struggling to trust God. I'm struggling to have joy, you know, like your book, Take Back Your Joy. Take us back to one of those first moments that you remember of struggle and difficulty.
Yeah. So I've had a lot of trauma and medical things and loss and betrayal and, I mean, a lot of darkness, a lot of depression, a lot. I've walked through a lot. And just that sometimes makes me ask God, you know, I'm only 33 years old. Why? If this is what life looks like, I don't want this, you know? And I think the first time was really back in college. I don't know if you like to say anything before your episodes, if like little ears are watching but or listening. But I was raped in college and goodness. I was a follower of Christ. I loved him. I walked with him. I had close friends who, you know, were my ride or die people who were also Christians. I had a Christian family. I like you just don't think things like that are going to happen. And that really messed me up. And I just couldn't see the silver lining. Because how can you, when you're going through the worst trauma that you've mm-hmm. walked, and how can you, like, one, have joy,
yeah.
you know, consider it pure joy when yeah. you face trials of many kinds. How in the world are you supposed to read scripture yeah. and then apply it to your life when you're going through, like, the worst pain? Mm. And then there was just, you know, betrayal in my family. Now, fast forward all these years, I had cancer, I had a miscarriage. Mm. Like, we've had so much go on in, I mean, I've had so much. Yeah. I was, like, lumping my husband in there because we all have stuff, but
yeah.
I've just walked through so many little things and big things that, like, everyone. And that's yeah. the thing is, we don't necessarily talk about all the hard stuff because mm-hmm. we almost feel like we need to get past it in order to walk in victory yeah. and walk in freedom. And so I found myself almost having, like, this checklist of things that I needed to do. I needed to get counseling. Mm. I needed to go on antidepressants. I needed mm-hmm. to listen to these worship songs and do this and do that and, like, be a part of this and read that devotional. And it's exhausting. It is absolutely exhausting mm-hmm. when you're trying to heal from things. And while you're understanding, who is God? Is he good? Can I trust him? Because that felt like the biggest betrayal in yeah. my life, when God did not save me. God did not protect me. Mm-hmm. God was not my shield, defender, mm-hmm. and protector. But I read that. Yeah. I read that all through scripture. So what's the problem here? Mm-hmm. Like, what am I missing? And so that just really set me on a journey of questioning and doubting some and wrestling with the Lord on so many topics. And really this joy and suffering, joy despite circumstances was, like, birthed back way back then. And then I feel like cancer was just, like, the tip of the iceberg for me on what? This journey of, like, what is wrong with yeah. life? Like, how are we supposed to get through? So, long story short, yeah. that's basically what, like, set me off.
The overview of, like, oh my yeah. goodness. I mean, I'm 33, so we're the same age. And, you know, I know that for so many of our listeners, we have had so many young women and women email us specifically about, you know, being assaulted or, yeah. you know, something, you know, along those lines. And we had, which I'll link below, we did have another amazing woman come on and talk about a similar situation in college, being raped. And so she shared just her story. And so I'll link that below if y'all want to hear that. But I know, you know, you sharing that, which is so vulnerable, and just, I literally cannot even imagine. And there's nothing that, like, boils my blood more than stuff like that. It just makes me, yeah. It's so, so, so difficult. It yeah. makes you very much look forward to heaven and all of that. Yeah. But I know for, like, especially in this community of women, just statistically, how many women who, you yep. know, have been in a situation like that, whether when they were young yeah. or now. And I know right now we have listeners who have not told anyone and who have not even yeah. started that journey. And this is, like, you know, like, okay, I'm listening to this. I see someone who has just written a book called Take Back Your yeah. Joy. So can you take us back to those years after college when that happened? Was there a turning point for you, or was it straight into one of your next, you know, your next yeah. Trials?
Set, right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So what happened between that horrible, horrible, awful, you know, experience and the next trial you walked through?
Yeah. So that's a great question. I think the biggest thing for me was a couple months afterwards, the women's director of my college group, she was closely related to the missions team and the women's team, she called me into her office, and I just started sweating and crying, and I was so yeah. nervous because I was like, what did I do? Like, I cannot handle anyone I just can't handle anyone else's expectations right yes. now. And I didn't know if she was like, okay, you're not your normal, like, happy self, and you're not, you know, staying late after the college group and chatting with all your friends, like, what's going on, you know? So she called me in her office, and I went in there, and I was just so nervous. And she was like, you know, small talk for a little bit. And then she said, I want you to lead the missions trip to Nepal next year. Wow. And this was, you know, shortly at the end of the year. And so it would be in, you know, 6 months from that time. And and I said, well, absolutely not. You know, there's no way I'm going to lead Christians right now, because I don't even understand really what being a Christian and my relationship with the Lord even looks like right now. Because I was just so traumatized and broken. Yeah. And there was just so many other things that I had to deal with, you know, police reports and the investigations and all the crap that comes after that. And so she said, well, Nicole, you are supposed to lead this trip. And I just broke down and I told her everything. I was like, look, my dad, I had a whole thing with my dad recently, and there was just a lot of betrayal there. And then this happened, and in college this happened. And I just like went through my list of trauma that past year. And I was like, I'm in no way equipped. And she looked at me and she said, that is exactly why you were supposed to lead this trip, because God wants to show you that he can restore and redeem a situation when you think all is lost. And she's like, and also he is your strength, and you're going to know that more than ever, because you have nothing to offer. And it was so humbling, but it was so empowering. Like the way that she saw me with a second chance and saw me as Jesus did, you know, of worthy of being, having a second chance and, and having love from somebody who can come alongside of me and understand. And I just think that really set me off on a completely different trajectory for my life, because I don't know what I would have done if I didn't have that responsibility of serving and leading. And because I was like, oh, shoot, I need to get in the word. I need to understand this. Like, I need to ask the hard questions now. I need to get this figured out. And so that really changed me a ton. And I think that even now I can look at when I have horrible pain and devastation and whatever, it's kind of like, what is God putting in front of me that I need to take responsibility in, or who do I need to serve around me, or how do I need to heal in order to like cross that bridge from pain to purpose? Like, what does all of that look like? And so I, because of learning that way back then, I hopefully sometimes, because I'm still really bad at it, but sometimes I can try to apply those things of like the second chances and service and knowing that God is my 1000% strength and I have nothing to offer. But it's so good when he, when we allow him to be God and not ourselves, you know?
So for the woman who's listening right now, who's saying, okay, that's great that you found some ways to move forward, you know, obviously getting your book is going to be a huge help for them, you know, Take Back Your Joy is your whole story, and obviously how to find that hope and that purpose in Christ and all of the, just the realness that that looks like. But for the woman who's sitting here, whether it's, you know, something horrible that's been done to them or a decision they made that was, you know, sinful, not good, or just life is not the way that they expected and they're in that place of struggle right now, what encouragement, what wisdom can you share with her to maybe help her just take a step or two forward? Or how can she even take that, you know, like she doesn't even feel like opening up her Bible. She doesn't even feel like, you know, what does that look like? What do those, what can she do?
Well, first of all, that is completely normal. And I think we need to be told that that's normal, that you don't need to just jump from trauma to being this perfect Christian who opens their Bible and is on the worship team the next day. Like, we have to be real with our emotions and with our feelings and our trauma and our pain. We have to be authentic. And that means starting at the foot of the cross. That means being honest with the person. The only person who can actually redeem the situation is Christ. And if we're not honest with him, then I don't even know what, like, what else to tell people, right? Like, that is the only place we can go. And that means in honesty. That doesn't mean you have to be like, okay, Lord, like, redeem the situation. Like, I love you. That means I don't understand how to take the next step, God. I don't understand how to pick up my Bible. I don't want to read it. I don't even know like why you did this. I don't understand. I am mad. I am like, be honest, because he already knows. And he's the only one that can make something beautiful out of our disaster. And so that's like my first thing is always just be yourself, be your authentic self, whether that's angry, whether whatever emotion you're feeling, go to the Lord. He can handle that, you know, like he can handle that. And I also think remembering in the past in your life where God has showed up.
Yeah.
Sometimes that is all I can remember. And it's sad because a lot of times we don't have like a ton of those things. Yeah. You know, sometimes life is just really hard and you can only hold on to like a couple things. Mm-hmm. And that's okay because that's probably more normal than we'd like to talk about. But I like now having a baby after cancer, I remember that and I hold on to that all the time. Mm-hmm. And back when, you know, the trauma happened and the assault in college, I had a second chance to serve and to get back into the Word and all of that. That didn't have to happen. Mm. So those two things I hold on to all the time now going forward. Mm. So remembering the character of God, remembering what he has done, because we can get so confused. And sometimes it's not even our own lives. Sometimes it's hearing a story in the Bible or from a random friend, you know, of sharing what God has done in her life. Yeah. And that gives you hope that God still is for you. He still loves you. You still have purpose. And that something like this season of pain isn't going to last forever. It's just not. And we get so wrapped up in how hard things are as we, you know, that's normal. That's totally normal to be completely overwhelmed and like, this is never going to end.
Yeah.
But you have to go back to the truth of God's character, the truth in scripture, and being honest, always honest before the Lord.
Mm-hmm. I know. I love that you said that God can handle it. I think we diminish God down to like this tiny thing. And we're like, no, I can't. I can't talk to him. He doesn't, you know, and it's like you're saying, like he is the only one truly that we can go to. He is the only one truly that can redeem the situation. And I love to think about the fact that, you know, Jesus, who deserved everything, came and was completely unjustly, you know, literally his, you know, taken his life, you know, murdered, but ultimately rose and conquered death, conquered the grave, conquered sin. And that one day there is coming a day where justice will be completely served and where we will, you know, like scripture talks about, where there are, you know, at his right hand are pleasures forevermore, not in the sense where we're just going to have like, you know, money dumping on our head, but like true, deep, satisfying pleasure in the presence of God. And so I just, you know, as a Christian, having that hope to hold on to, I don't know. As like, if you're a non-believer, I don't even know where you go or what you do. Cause ultimately it's like, what is this life? What is the purpose? So I love that your book is founded on Christ and that you've been sharing that with us. Something I do want to touch on is the fact that you've been married for a while now. I mean, we're the same age. We're 33, like you said, but you've been married for how long?
We're 10 years. We just celebrated 10 years. Yep.
Okay. So talk about that really quick, because I think that is something really like hope filled that you went through horrible stuff in college, but then a few short years later you got married and started having babies. So tell us about what that looked like.
Well, my husband is the best person on the face of the planet, so I mean, I'm biased, right? But
That's so sweet.
he is my calm. He is my just steady, constant person in my life. And I think what sets him apart so much is that he knows scripture and he knows the truth, and he does not let me get away with speaking lies. You know, like
I love that.
if it's over my own life, if I'm just having a pity party over here, and I mean, he lets me like vent, right? But Of course, he's the safe place for that. But it's like he always turns it back to the truth of God's word. Mm-hmm. And I need that so much in my life because I just go off my rocker. I'm just like, I don't understand, you know, I'm like whining over here. And he's just like, oh my goodness, you know, and he'll just have that. But I also think we're not in each other's lives all the time because of his schedule. Like we've been doing this medical thing, you know, since we got married. I was working, he was doing his prereqs, and wow. Then he was in the Navy for 10 years before that. And so he just had a ton of stuff already on his plate, but then he's like, I want to be a doctor. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to marry this guy that was like graduated from the Naval Academy and now he's going to be a doctor. Like, oh my gosh, I'm so proud. And now looking back, I was like, oh girl, you were so naive. Like that is so hard. Yeah. But I think being like, we've had to make date nights where we watch a show and put the kids to bed early and, you know, get takeout, and we've had to make things work.
Yes.
Because of his schedule. And I do think that has helped us and has served us well. We're also both, I don't know if you're an Enneagram person, but we're both eights on the Enneagram.
Wow.
So we are both like very passionate, very vocal. And like, well, I have a wing seven. So I'm like, I still want to have fun.
A little bit of a party girl.
Yeah. So I still want to have fun. And he's actually a wing nine. So he's more like chill in those ways.
Yes.
So in like peacemaker and like doesn't want to talk about everything. Uh-huh. So it's hilarious because I think that has also served us so well because we are passionate about the Lord and our family and we don't mess around. Like if I need something from him, I'm going to tell him, like, I need you to pray for me right now. Like, drop what you're doing, put your hand on me and pray for me. Like, we just don't, there's no time for games. You know what I mean?
It's so true. Well, Kristen and I run Girl Defined together and she's an eight, I'm a three. And the more I learned about her personality, the less conflict we had.
Yeah.
She, you know, I am a very passionate, strong three, forward moving person too. But you know, that did really help us understanding our personalities. I feel like there's been so much more peace and unity because it's just, you know, there can be certain personalities are just a lot, but I come from a big family. There's eight kids in my family. So it's like,
we
span the spectrum, you know, one sister's a nine, one sister's a seven. So we've got like all of the things, but that cracks me up that you are both eights. Cause knowing Kristen, I'm like, that is amazing. Cause it can be an incredible, you know, an incredible personality. And God is obviously doing amazing things with y'all, you know, just your whole story. I do want to touch on, you mentioned cancer, which is like mind blowing. And so, you know, that just like, no one wants to hear the word cancer in like their life ever. So when did that happen? How did you find out?
My husband was 2 weeks out from graduating from medical school. So this was when we were in Colorado and we were packing boxes. We, previously, like 2 months before I had a miscarriage and we found out we were moving across the country. And so we were just like in a really, it's like a very somber season of just like packing up our house and moving. And it just was sad because we had our community, our best friends, my parents, like it was so sad and just the best church. And then we were packing up and kind of taking a break. And I had my son, you know how the airplane where you put the kid's stomach on your feet and you like fly him through the air, that you do with kids. Anyway, so we were doing that. And my son looked at me, he was four at the time. And he looked at me and he was like, what is that? And I was like, what? And I thought it was like chocolate on my face or something, you know, or a zit, I don't know. And he was like, no, on your neck. And I was like, I don't know. So I looked in the mirror and I had like, I mean, I used to say it was like golf ball size, but it ended up being like ping pong ball. I had like a ping pong ball size tumor in my neck that we, you know, found out that was obviously cancerous and spread all over my neck and like in my lymph nodes. And it was the whole thing. But we were 2 weeks out. And so, of course, I looked at myself and I was like, why haven't I noticed this? Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Probably because I'm a mom and life's crazy.
Yeah.
And So my husband looked at it and he was like, you need to get checked for that. And I was like, it's fine. Let's just like get out to North Carolina and move on. You know, like it's going to be fine. I probably just need some thyroid meds. You know, I didn't think anything of it. Well, I ended up getting, because my husband, of course, in the medical field, he's like, no, get it checked.
Yeah.
So then I go to the doctor and they, like they did an ultrasound and they did some tests and it was cancerous, full-blown cancer, thyroid cancer. So we moved across the country, didn't know anybody out here. Couple like random connections from like Instagram and like a friend from high school. And then went back in, had a biopsy, and it spread throughout the rest of my neck. So then the surgery would be more invasive and like all of this stuff. And so it was just like, you've got to be kidding me. I was so mad. And then, of course, my surgery date was like the week of my husband starting his intern year.
Goodness, were you scared at this point? Like, was it?
No, I was just pissed. Like,
okay.
My first emotion is always like anger. It's never scared.
Okay.
I'm, it's never like, I think I had fears of like, what if I die and my kids don't have a mom? Mm, like that, those fears, like the mom fears.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just so mad. I was so mad. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. After everything that I just walked through.
Yeah.
Like, can you have just waited like a few years?
So was this, did you find out you went through a miscarriage, which would have been, so you have four now. So was that in between your third and fourth?
Yes, it was.
Okay. So you have, you go through the miscarriage, and how long did you say after the miscarriage did you find out you had cancer?
Two months.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So, and I mean, it was just, it was a lot, but now, like I mentioned before, having my fourth, I wasn't supposed to have, it wasn't like I wasn't supposed to have kids after cancer. Yeah. It was more like, it might be harder to ever conceive with the radioactive iodine treatment that I had. You should wait a certain amount of time. And so when I got pregnant, I was so scared. I was like, well, now my baby's going to be, like, literally I was thinking, okay, my baby's going to be deformed. Something's going to be wrong. I'm going to miscarry. Like, something's going to happen because, like, this shouldn't have happened. And then it ended up being a healthy baby girl after three boys.
No.
And that is why I have to, like, hold on to those things of, like, only God. Mm. Only God can do that in our lives. And that is... those are the things that, like, I'm going to hold on until my deathbed because I have to choose to stand on what God has done instead of questioning him for things that he has allowed. Mm. I have to do that for my mental peace, for everything in my life, or else I just go off the deep end every single time. Spiral downwards. It's horrible.
Well, I'm off the deep end and I'm just like hearing like, oh my goodness, this is just like you're saying, it's like one thing after the other. Sometimes it's like, God, can you spread out the pain a little bit? Like sprinkle some over there. Like what about her? Her life seems fine. Go give her some. I mean, that's crazy. So what, like, especially after the cancer and that whole process. And, you know, I mean, it hasn't been that long, truly. Like, you know, I mean, you're not even, you're like 33, which I consider very young, you know. So this has been a ton. So what, you know, your book is called Take Back Your Joy. So is that something you have, like, experienced, walked through? Like, how have you even found joy in the midst of all of this?
I think I was so depressed and so... honestly, just like wanting to take my own life. And I talk about this a little bit in the book of just wanting to be done. It was just too much. Like, you know, from college to now, it's just too much. Yeah. And I started writing and I was just venting and writing and journaling and all out of all my just pain.
Yeah.
This book was being formed and I don't have it all together. I absolutely am horrible at, I laugh all the time because I'm like, really, Lord, are you sure you picked the right girl? Because I'm like, I get so mad at stuff, like when things happen, and I still am not like this perfectly joyful person all the time. But I mean, I am learning. I wrote the book and I'm learning it, and I'm going to be learning it and going through it with everyone else when it you know, hits in October. But I think I had to, the only way to survive was to understand that correlation that Christ is my joy and Christ is my satisfaction and my place of peace and contentment, and that I still have a purpose, and that this isn't personal, that he's not like out to get me because I've just experienced so much. And it, honestly, just out of all my questions and pain, this book happened. And it's crazy that it's just all here. And I almost feel like I need to reread it depending on the chapter I'm going through because those things still pop up. Like it's a joke to think that we just learn something and never have to deal with it again. You know, it, like, this life is a process and it is a journey, and it's not like we ever get to that place of overcoming this, oh, I understand joy now and fighting for purpose and my life is never more than I can handle. It's so great all the time. That is so not true. And so I have to be reminded that it is this understanding of taking back your joy is actually, which, side note, I love the title because it sounds self-helpy, but then you open it and it's like the word of God and like God's character and truth. And, you know,
it's you're like, going to pull him in and then smack him.
It's like, take back your joy, like in your own strength. Like, you got this, girl, like a little butt tap, but it's like totally not.
I love that.
So anyways, I just feel like it's going to be what I need throughout the rest of my life too. And hopefully it just brings so many people to understand his true character and his love, despite what our circumstances look like, that we can have joy, that we don't have to be happy and smiley and like think our life is perfect, but we can have that deep joy that is only found in Christ, you know?
Well, and it's so hope giving because I know that, like, there can be those moments in life where we, it's like, okay, I can't even think of anything in my life that's like, that has been good or whatever, you know, but being able to read somebody else's story and, you know, being able to relate to those emotions and that hardship, even in, you know, putting it in our own circumstances and seeing the process of what you went through and seeing, you know, not this perfect, like, okay, I just opened my Bible, then everything was perfect. You know, it's like you're saying, like, it's, there's still, like, life is going to be, there's going to be those hardships and we're going to have to continue working on this till the day we die. But I love that you wrote this book from like such a real and raw place, and that for every woman who gets it and opens it and reads it, they're going to be, I'm sure, laughing and crying probably a lot, but also just seeing like the goodness of God and hearing it from someone who has walked through such hardship just hits differently, you know, because when you look at someone and you're like, you know, we can all we can all speak the truth of God's word, and that's always amazing. But hearing from someone like you, Nicole, who has gone through that hardship and then is saying like, look, I'm still clinging to Christ. I'm still striving to, you know, walk in a relationship with him. I am still running to him, even though it's so hard. Like, that is just amazing. And I, you know, I feel like we could have a Joe Rogan conversation and talk for like 4 hours here because your story is just insane. But I feel like it was the best for me. I'm like, I can't wait to read this book. You know, it's like the best teaser for your book, Take Back Your Joy. And I just really want to encourage the sisterhood, if you or someone you know, I mean, this could be a great gift as well for someone who is walking through something hard or for you. And what I say is, like, you know, we are not guaranteed an easy life. And so if you're like, I'm in a good place right now, honestly, preparing for the future, not that you're living in doomsday, but we should be preparing spiritually for a hardship or an unexpected twist or turn in our life. And so I feel like reading your book, Take Back Your Joy, is not only great for in the moment if you're going through something hard, if you're processing something in the past, or just preparing and like gearing up spiritually for potentially what you could go through in the future. So I'll link everything below. But Nicole, is there anything that you want to share, you know, with a woman who's listening, who's just been like, wow, I am so grateful I stumbled upon this podcast and heard your story. Do you have any encouragement or just something that you want to leave her with?
Just keep going, because you, if you have breath in your lungs and you're alive, like, God is not done. God is not done with you. And it's not a, oh, he's not done with you. Like, you still have to go through a lot of pain and then you'll, you know, and then Jesus will return and then everything will be great. It's, there is so much goodness that he still is graciously going to pour into all of our lives if we still have breath in our lungs. And to keep going and to endure, like, just know that you are not alone in what you're going through. And I felt so lonely and so alone in my pain, probably during every single one of my traumatic events and trials and all of that. Because if you don't know someone that's going through it exactly, yeah, you know, at the same time, like, it's really easy to, I think the enemy tries to isolate you, yes, uh-huh, to make it feel like you're the only one that's, yeah, going through this. So God must not love you. He must not, but to remember that he's not putting all these things in your life, that it is just life. Life happens. Sin is everywhere. Yeah. Sickness is everywhere. But if we can hold on to the truth that Jesus is coming and we get to go spend eternity with our Maker, with our Father, like, that is sometimes the only thing that we can do to have this eternal hope and live in this abundance, knowing our hope is in heaven. And that I know that sounds cheesy sometimes, like, oh, my hope is in heaven. But when you've experienced so much pain on earth, you really start to look forward to Christ's return. But also, you also want to make sure that it's a well done, good and faithful servant, and not a, oh, yay, I'm here now kind of situation.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know how it's going to go down, but I want to know that while I had breath in my lungs, that I actually did what he called me to do and talk to the people I was supposed to talk to and share the gospel and be obedient, however that looks like in each of our lives. And that's what matters. And his love is so deep for us, and we cannot equate his love and our pain to where, like, oh, it's, he doesn't love me because of my circumstances. They can't equate. They can't even be on the same playing field. You know what I mean? Yeah,
totally.
So just keep enduring. You're not alone. Reach out to people and you share your story.
Yeah.
Talk through your pain. Like, sometimes healing is in the words that we speak to the close people around us. And you never know who you can bless along the way, too.
That's so great. And I love, you know, I'm always saying, like, the things that sound like, I know it sounds like cheesy Christian, like, hope in the Lord, but it's like, it's so true. Like, so many of those basic foundational, like, gospel truths are really what is so life changing. But it's like, hey, I learned that, like, you know, 20 years ago in Sunday school, and kind of like, we need bigger and better. And it's like, no, sometimes we just need to get back to the basics. So I love that you emphasize that. And obviously you are, like, encouraging people all over the internet with all of your amazing content. So if someone's like, okay, I hear this, I'm pre-ordering the book, I am ready, but I need some encouragement now from you, Nicole. Where can they find you? Where can they follow along with you?
Oh, yay. I really try to open all of my messages. So pop in there. I'm Nicole Jacobsmeyer on Instagram. My website's NicoleJacobsmeyer.com. There are so many fun pre-order bonuses and just, like, launch team things. Yes. So there's so many fun things happening. And I will try to respond as soon as possible. But I would love
the commitment
to.
Here.
I know.
Like, I don't respond to any of my DMs. Like, I'm so amazed.
I try. I really try. It's hard. It's getting harder. I feel like the more kids you have, it just gets harder.
Oh, that's exciting. Oh, and I'm all about the pre-order bonuses, and it's, like, such an amazing deal. So if you're going to get her book,
it's so fun.
Definitely pre-order it. Thank you so much, Nicole, for coming on and sharing your story.
Thank
I know
you
this
so much.
Is like such a huge encouragement to so many. And I'm just pumped for your book and that you wrote it and that you went through the process as a fellow author. I'm like, yes, you did it. Like, it's almost here, you know, so way to go. And just thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Bethany. I've loved this.
What an incredible conversation. You know, we only scratched the surface of Nicole's story. So again, grab a copy of her book, Take Back Your Joy, at the link in our bio, and follow her on Instagram. We'll link it all below. It's just so encouraging as Christian women to link arms with one another in different parts of our journey and our testimony and learning to love Christ at different ages and just point each other to him. It's so, so, so beautiful. I encourage you to tune back to the Girl Defined show for more wonderful episodes. And as always, please leave a 5-star review if you appreciated this. It really helps. It really, really, really helps. So go right now. Come on, leave it, leave it, leave it. Thank you all so much, sisterhood. I'll see y'all again next week.